sun, postcard settings, and a late start. It must be Alton Park. This is the Alton Park preview.
Well done, mate. You got through that.
First time.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again to take you through the preview for Alton Park, one of the, as you say, most picturesque setting for one of the touring car events across the season. How are you doing? It's
hot.
A bit warm, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's warm. Summer has arrived here in the East of Anglia. East Anglia of the UK.
You got the right teeth in today.
It's the heat. It's not going well. Sure. I've been up early. Yeah, it's a really sunny week. It's going to be a real hot weekend. We are going north this weekend. Mm. Well, you're not going to argue with me and say it's not north. It is definitely north.
Definitely north.
We're going north this weekend for Alton Park.
Not,
I am well.
Not going to be any cooler, though.
No, which probably means it's going to be even hotter here. Which is probably, in some ways, small mercies that we're escaping this weekend. Because if we were watching it, all the action up here on Sunday, you may melt or may have melted.
Yeah.
So we'll have that fun with Croft when that rocks around. But yes, it is Alton Park this weekend. It is the halfway mark of the season. It's absolutely flown by.
It has.
At the end of this weekend, we will have a good indication to where the drivers are going to be for the rest of the season. And of course, on a more sad note for long-standing touring car fans, it is, of course, Steve Ryder's last weekend presenting the touring cars this weekend. So if you see him, make sure you say thank you.
Yes, I do find it slightly bizarre that he's going halfway through a season, but
January transfer window.
Down to him, making the most of the summer break and very much extending that going forward.
Absolutely.
And, he's been an asset to the touring cars throughout its history, basically. And I think he does a really, really good job. Certainly a lot more professional than some others other times, Paul O'Neill.
I mean, in glass houses is all I'm going to say on that. So Alton Park then, 12 corners, 2.23 miles. We're on the medium layout of the circuit in terms of length. There is basically a glorified circle, then there's an even longer bit that goes into the woods and back round again, which is used on the GTs.
Yeah.
But we are using just the smaller island loop, which is the roundy bit, and then the long,
nice tight hairpin.
Yeah. It's a very narrow track, Alton Park. It's very difficult to overtake on. Lots of barriers close to the circuit as well. It's probably the closest we get to a street race, and it's not a street race, but it's the closest we get to a street race in the touring cars when you look at how close some of the barriers are to the circuit itself. It debuted into the series in 1960. Would you like to hazard a guess who's the qualifying lap record?
I think it was when the Nappers were absolutely dominating.
You say this every week, and every week you're wrong.
Yeah, am I wrong this
week?
Yes,
you are indeed, yes. Okay. Hey, it was Tom Ingram in 2024, so last year, for 1 minute 24.2. Would you like to take a guess what the race record was?
Let's go for Ingram as well.
No, it was Camish last year for 1:25.4, so wrong on both. It's becoming a habit.
Sounds like me.
Absolutely. In terms of the action last year, race one saw Ingram, Sutton and Camish make up the top three places. Race two saw Cook, Ingram and Hill. Race two last year, Sutton had the meatball flag due to the flapping rear wings of the Focus, wasn't it?
The smallest bits of bodywork possibly bolted to the Napa Ford. But they were clamping down on those bits and pieces last year.
They were quite, because it was basically the whole of the rear wheel cover, it did flip up in a big way. So,
it
probably was right for an orange flag. And then in race three, we saw Hill, Dobble, and Aaron Taylor Smith taking the. Did I say Dobble right? Didn't I? Dobble. I keep saying Dobble wrong. It was Hill, Dobble, and Aaron Taylor Smith in the top three places. Sutton got a drive-through penalty. Right, or did he hit the wall?
It was a weekend to forget for him. It was his bad weekend of last season, something which he hasn't really had as of yet. Leads the way by quite an extensive amount. Well, him and Ingram lead the way by quite an extensive amount. 40-odd points, I think, at the moment from Rowbottom now, who is third.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you say, it is Sutton at the top of the standings with Ingram behind. Ingram is only 9 points back, so there's a good little battle at the top. And then Rowbottom is 40 points behind Ingram. So 49, great maths, behind
ridiculous.
The lead. Camish on 1:28 and then Jake Hill on 1:14. Because we'd like to think we've got a decent title race going on, I have done the results for the top five on the basis they're all maybe in the championship hunt, maybe, maybe not. So I'll start at the bottom. Rowbottom last time out here, had a 15th, a 9th, and a 6th. Camish, a 2nd, a 4th, and a 5th.
Yeah.
Hill, a 5th, a 3rd, and a 1st. BMW tends to go quite well here.
Yeah.
Ingram, a first, a second, and a fourth, which is becoming a standard Ingram weekend. And then Sutton, a second, a 16th, and an 18th. So, as I say, only 1 point finished from Sutton last year.
Yeah, it does seem to be a decent track for BMW. I think this is where Hill took his first win. And
he was.
Had it taken off of him, wasn't it?
Yes, for an incident with Matt Neal. Yes.
But yeah, there's plenty of traction zones around here. So we do believe the BMW might go a little bit better than it has done in recent weekends. We saw that surge of speed that they had at Brands. Do you think they're going to get anywhere back to that this weekend?
Yeah, and it's going to be hot this weekend. That is undeniable. There's going to be no sort of, will it rain? When it rain, it might do. We know for a fact it's going to be hot this weekend. And the BMW works well in hot conditions. It controls the tyre deck better in those conditions than it does in the more milder ones.
Yep.
It means it gets the tyres up to speed quicker, the brakes up to speed quicker, etc., etc. And as you say quite rightly, there's a lot of traction zones. That hairpin is somewhere that the BMW really can sweep round and get the drive out of the corner, heading down into the chicane.
I think we're going to see a lot of cutback moves at that hairpin this weekend. We have seen a couple of drivers get it wrong in the past, and there'll be some incidents down there, so do keep an eye out for that, especially if you're viewing up on that bank, up over the hill.
Yeah, it's a what I'd call a bunching zone, because everybody has a slightly different braking point on the car, but particularly depends on the guy in front of you is braking as well. It does mean you can get cars concertinaing up, bumping into each other, bumper to bumper. And as you say, we've seen, I think Colin Turton got spun around there last year as well. So yeah, it is an area that is a high action zone. To be fair, Alton Park, while it is quite a narrow track and it is difficult to overtake, there is quite a lot of action zones throughout the circuit. Obviously, you've got Deer Leap as you come around the lap. You've got Old Hall Corner, where you see a lot of overtaking, a lot of people getting it wrong and flying off at speed into the barriers. Did Jelly end up there last year with...
Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
He's also famous for, obviously, Sheddon and Matt Neal coming together back in the day and taking each other out, basically, of that race. So there are plenty of action zones. And, yeah, I think we're going to see some decent racing this weekend. You mentioned it's going to be warm, and it's going to be very warm.
Yes, it is,
So Saturday looks like we're going to peak around about 28 degrees, and then Sunday, much milder, 27. So, do remember your hats, your shades, your umbrellas, your sun cream, plenty of water as well.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Although there are a few trees dotted around at Alton Park, there's still not much coverage.
There's not a lot of coverage at all. So just, and remember, people
public
get...
Public service announcement. Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, look out for each other if you are going. And remember that it's going to be even hotter if somebody's working in one of those coffee kiosks, etc. So
can't
please
imagine what that's going to be like.
So if there's a bit of a weight on that, just please do think a bit wider, because it's going to be, as you say, you couldn't pay me to work in one of those this weekend. Even working in the pub bath thing will be hard enough. That's just corrugated metal, isn't it? But yeah, to be working in any sort of heat this weekend, no thank you. So
There are some good viewing zones around Alton Park as well. Coming out of the first corner, Old Hall, you mentioned, you can view on both sides.
Yes.
I think they've got camping on the outside of the circuit, a good viewing on the inside, and you normally see a good bit of action in that corner.
Yeah, and historically as well, if you want to go to the outside, they actually, between races, you can walk across the tracks. So that's quite a cool experience if you you're wanting to actually see or even feel what the tarmac of a race circuit is like. It's a lot different. Well, maybe it's not a lot different to the M25 these days, but in principle, it's a lot different to the stuff you drive on in your everyday lives. But it is quite a cool thing. You can literally say they open up the gates, you walk across the track. Obviously, the marshals stop you from running up to different parts. You know, you have to walk across in a straight line like the Beatles and Abbey Road. But it is quite a cool experience if you're a motorsport fan and you're new to Alton Park this weekend to get your feet onto the racing asphalt.
Yeah, so just to keep you up to date on the timings for this weekend, on Saturday we've got qualifying between 3 and 4, obviously subject to any time delays in the other sessions, and then the racing doesn't start until 20 past 12 on Sunday. Now we know this, there's always a curfew, an early morning curfew I should say, at Alton Park.
I believe it's to do with the nearby church, isn't it? So the church service can run, which is kind of quaint and very British, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. So the pit lane walkabout will be happening from 10:30 till 11:05, and then you have to wait another hour and 15 minutes, which is it's going to feel like a long time. But do go around, look around at all the tents that are there, all the merchandise and stuff like that, and it gives you a good chance to walk around.
Yeah, and certainly in the events we've been to so far this year, we've seen quite a few historic cars being brought out to be shown, not to be raced, but you can go around the paddock and see some of the older cars and some of the wraps on these cars.
And they're different at each event because they normally come from the local area as well.
So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of, you can do a lot of walking about and seeing bits and pieces whilst you are waiting for the action to start. in terms of the timetable, I will say it's a bit sparse again. I know Orton's always sparse to a degree because we've got so much to fit in on, you know, basically through 6 hours rather than the usual eight or nine we get. But this weekend, we are, again, looking at quite a sparse timetable.
Yeah, so seven races on the Sunday, as I said, starting with the touring cars, followed by the F4 and then the Porsche Sprint. Another touring car race at 20-3, followed by the Minis, another F4 race, and then the final touring car race at 5:05. Now, from what I remember last time we were up there, it's a little tricky to get out of, but they do try to do their best up there and actually make the road out just one way, two lanes.
That's Croft you're thinking of.
Was that Croft?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Orton Park, where you got angry and decided to rally cross across the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Croft is the good one when they do that.
Some more rally crossing then this weekend.
Yeah, that's where you lost your temper a little bit. So...
We'll do that.
Yeah, that your poor Ibiza has had its clutch almost burnt out in Knockhill and done rally crossing at Orton Park. So, yeah. We're not in the Ibiza this weekend, though, no. So it's fine.
No.
But, yeah, we are going. It'll be good. It's only our second trip to Orton Park. This is our... Every year we try and do a... You know, longer distance weekend for ourselves. This year it's Alton Park.
Next year will be Thruxton.
It will be indeed.
Complete the set. Do let us know how many tracks you've been to as well. We'd love to hear your stories, especially from Alton Park this weekend, of some sort of like notable events that you've seen there in touring cars or other racing series, and what your favourite racetrack is to visit anyway.
In terms of the actual racing on the field, we'll take that Napa and Virtual will be good as red. We know that they're doing it every track this year. I think in terms of who to look out for on the otherwise, other than those top two teams, BMW have to have a good weekend this weekend. Mm. We're getting into the part of the season now where we've got a couple of circuits that suit them on paper. Croft, of course, the circuit we'll go to after the summer break.
And temperature-wise, we're at their peak for their season. We always know that they go well in these hotter conditions. We never know really what we're going to get up at Knockhill, so that's a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah, but it's a track where Hill tends to go well at regardless, exactly, isn't it? He's sort of broken the BMW duct a little bit up there. But I certainly think this weekend, if Hill's got any aspirations and hopes of retaining that title, which, I, to be honest with you, I think they're done anyway. I've been brutally honest. But if there's any chance, he's got to have a good weekend this weekend.
I think he probably needs to take a win and a podium this weekend if he realistically wants to stay in it.
I think he needs to be better than that. I think he has been on the podium all three races. But because the thing is, Ingram will be on the podium at least once, if not twice, as will Sutton. And unless anything catastrophic happens, Sutton and Ingram will be finishing no lower than sixth. As a general rule, they are always in. But no matter what the grid reversal is, obviously we'll be back to the tyre nonsense this weekend as well, so we have to see how that factors into things. But
yeah, I think Sutton and Ingram between them have only finished sort of like outside the top 10 once or twice so far this season.
Yeah.
And every other result has pretty much been inside the top four. So we're looking for more consistency from them. I think... The Restart Racing boys are certainly going to want to bounce back from Thruxton. It was a difficult weekend for them. And I think the Hyundai, as we've already mentioned, should go well here. So they'll be looking to take advantage of that.
Yes, visual watchers may be wondering why I broke into a grin there. Of course, this is the scene for longer-term listeners to the pod where Smiley happened a couple of years ago. They moved down Cascades, which was a bit of Smiley bowling. Nice, happy memories. I think were we there that year? I think we were, because it was the year that Sutton was in the Infinity, weren't it? Because he went off right in front of us.
Yeah.
And Sam Smelt was in the Toyota that year as well.
Yeah. How do you think Toyota will get on this weekend? They need to do something.
Yeah.
Are there shoots of life?
Thruxton was better. You know, Baron Turner-Smith finished in the top six. Dorling got into the fast six and didn't disgrace himself in race one. Obviously, his pole position in race two didn't quite race three. So I didn't quite go to plan because of shenanigans in and around him. That's always the way in race three. Shedden, when he's not being rammed into by other cars, has been okay.
He's failed to impress me this season so far, and I don't know whether it's because of the time that he's had out and he's still getting used to it, getting used to how the cars now drive, how they react to the normal setups he may have put on the cars when he was previously racing. But I don't feel he's settled as well, especially as someone like Dorling, who's also come into the championship. I think Dorling's settled a little bit better.
Yeah, but then has he? Or are we just expecting less of Dorling?
I don't know.
The one I'm most disappointed is Antonio Smith, because obviously last season he was, you know, setting the track alight. Yeah, he was in that Astra. Doble has done the same this year with, you know, keeping the Astralite going. I just look at Toyota and think, with Shed, and I say, I'm disappointed, yes, but am I as disappointed him as I am Sarah and Taylor Swift, or even Pearson, who's a race winner? Mm. none of them have done a great deal this season so far. But yeah, I do feel that if they want to get back into, I mean, it's difficult because the way it's gone already, everyone knows they're not, that it's done. They're not going to catch any of the teams around them in the manufacturers or in the teams or in the champion or the driver championship. The only thing they might get is the Jack Sears.
Yeah, it's a difficult position to be in coming up.
Particularly if you're Antonio Smith,
through the season.
Particularly if you're Taylor Smith or Shedden, who's here or would have gone to Toyota manufacture back team in the hopes of or in the belief of at least, if not winning the championship, but being in a position to challenge for race wins, podiums, and they're not.
No, definitely not. Shall we get on to some predictions?
Yes, we'll get to that after the break.
So as we come up to the mid-season break in the touring cars, we're not going to be taking a break and we're going to have plenty of videos for you over the mid-season interval.
So to make sure you don't miss out on any of this content in the off-season whilst you're trying to get your touring car itch, make sure you're subscribed, make sure you've got the bell on, make sure you've liked all of our social media, that's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, I don't think I've missed anything there, and make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your content from.
Yeah, let us know what videos you want us to make and we'll see what we can do for you.
Right then.
Predictions. The interesting bit. I believe the score is 11-10 to me.
Correct.
As it currently stands.
Correct.
And coming up to the midway point of the season, it is still very much all
very
to
tight.
For.
It's very tight this year. It's not been like this before. Normally one of us has a lead and then eats into it and then everyone stretches clear. So
could this be the weekend that someone stretches their legs and takes advantage? Because we've got some vastly different opinions.
Well, we actually haven't got anything the same anyone might have just tuned in for the first time this.
One of us is really right.
Yep.
Or we're both completely wrong.
Yeah, so if you're tuning in for the first time, we do poll, race winners, Jack Sears, and that's it.
Three general predictions for the weekend as well.
And a track specific.
And then we have more of a track specific one as well.
And we have gone for normally in the poll winners, Jack Sears, actually, we'll get something along. Yep. We'll get something similar or even the same this year or this weekend.
Yeah.
No. So would you like to tell me who your poll sitter is?
I am going to go for the man that is leading the Wingfoot Award still. I'm going to go for Dan Hamish.
Consistency is the key, isn't it?
He seems to be consistently good. He's taken two poles already this season.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Napa generally goes quite well here. Plus, I believe he was on pole here last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to back him.
I see it, Chef. I see it. I've gone for Hill based on BMW go well here. He's going to have a lot of the boost. He's going to be hot. I will also feel if it doesn't go for him in these conditions with everything the way it is, it's not going to this season. So I've kind of gone for that on why I think he'll get pole this weekend. Would you like to give me your three race? And actually, your three race winners are really interesting because
I've gone for a safe choice, a choice you can kind of go, oh yeah, I can see that happening, especially with the form he's in, and then a completely off the wall. The safe choice is Sutton.
Yeah. Well, you say it's safe, but last year, I mean,
how consistent he has been so far.
Yeah,
season.
But if there's a bogey track on his sort of copybook, it is Alton Park.
Or he could be looking to right the wrongs of last season.
Yes.
My second choice is Dan Robossum. He's taken two wins in the last two rounds and he's on a bit of a hot streak.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. I can see that, particularly as well with the boost. He's going to have less boost than, well, not than Camish actually, but then some of the people ahead of him.
And then also Dan Lloyd. That's a bit of an off the wall.
Big call.
But yeah, we'll see.
I'd love to see it. I'd happily give you the point to see that, but that's a big call. That's more than just a little bit of beans on toast you're cooking up there.
What about your three, mate?
I'm going for Hill because I think, again, copy and paste what I said about pole.
Yeah.
I'm going for Camish because, like you, I think the Napa Ford is good round here.
It is.
And I also think that, of course, in race one, he will have, I imagine he'll get into the top six qualifying, so I imagine he'll be qualifying in the top six, and then more than likely have more boost than people ahead of him or in and around him. And then I'm very much indoctrinated into this cult, and I think if it doesn't come off this weekend, I may have to leave the cult of Aidan Moffat.
Oh, okay.
He's probably the one that's disappointed me the most at the BMWs this season so far.
Yeah.
I couldn't really argue that. But I also think
one not to take a win of the BMWs. Is that the reason?
Or it is, but also just general performance. Rainford and De Leon, I think, are overperforming the car.
Yeah,
Moffat. It just seems to always be raining on that lad. His luck is absolutely appalling. And I feel that BMW should have a good weekend. I could just see a race three. I'm not saying on outright pace necessarily. I'm thinking a race three, but I'm also thinking to myself, if I'm Moffat, I'm losing interest in the, because you think to it, mm-hmm. the last three seasons he's been in a Honda, a Toyota, and now a BMW. Three cars that have done really well in the series, apart from under his hands. Not all due to his fault, it has to be said. But, yeah.
I prefer to say nothing.
I still am a fully paid up member of the cult of Aidan Moffat, and I think that he will prove some doubters wrong this weekend. But I also think that, I know you don't like him.
Be your Jack Sears.
Well, I was just going to say, if he doesn't do it this weekend, I'm going to have to stop arguing with you, I think.
Who's going to be your Jack Sears winner for this weekend? Pearson.
Okay. I'm back in Toyota, and I just think he'll keep his nose clean a little bit better. I don't know.
I'm spreading my eggs about this weekend, so I'm going to go for Rainford. You say the BMW may well go well this weekend, so I've got to have one BMW in my predictions.
I thought about that, but I also thought if I pick Rainford, it'll be De Leon. If I pick De Leon, it'll be Rainford. So I'll pick neither of them and go for Pearson.
And it'll be Osborne.
Almost certainly the way it runs. Almost certain. I think that's the one we never seem to get right, the Jack Sears, isn't it?
It isn't.
Which is testament to how good that competition is this season.
Yes, especially how it's been in previous seasons, where it's almost been the same driver taking the win home each weekend. We've got a real good mix of drivers this weekend. And if you haven't already, go and look at our Jack Sears preview to see the runners and riders and how we think they may get on this season.
Okie dokie. And then our general predictions then. So I will run through my first one. Ingram to outscore Sutton this weekend. Okay. I think this will be a Hyundai stronghold of a track. I know Napa go well here, but I just don't quite fancy Sutton here.
Yeah. I mean, outscore, it could just be a 1-point difference with how good those two drivers have been this season.
Yeah.
It really could come down to one race result. I'm going to go for Mikey Doble to win the Independence outright this weekend. We know the Astra goes well here, so I just think he's going to want a little bit of redemption, shall we say, especially for how poor a weekend he had at Thruxton. Not really down to him.
Okay, Ducky. Talking of redemption, I'm going for Max Hall to finish all three races. It's been a difficult start to Hall's touring car career. Lots of crashes, lots of smashes. He has been involved in something every weekend because at Donington he put Shedden into the gravel at Old Hairpin. Albeit that was slightly more racing move than anything else, but he has had something every weekend. Obviously, he missed two of the races at Thruxton last time out because of damage sustained in race one. I think he's got to change his approach slightly, and I think that he'll come out fighting this weekend and get... I'm not saying he'll get points finishes, but at the moment, his goal has got to be finish the races.
Yes.
Everything else will come. Finish the races.
Okay. My second one is going to be a certain Mr. Stephen Jelly is going to score points this weekend. It's something that he's struggled to do so far this season. He scored points in four races, one of which he inherited because of Smiley's disqualification from the final round at Thruxton. So he's only actually outright scored in three rounds and has 7 points in total so far this season, which, considering the car that he's in with the team that he's in
and experience he's got,
I really feel he should be doing a lot better.
Yep.
And just to clarify,
there's a slight stipulation on this.
It has to be a points finish on the road. He can't inherit it like he did in that final race at Thruxton.
Are we allowing if he gets a fastest? I mean, I don't think he will, but if he gets a fastest lap, but that count, all we're saying has got to be actually.
I don't think it will happen, but you can. It has to be in the top 15.
Fine. And then finally, I'm going to have that each race has a different independent winner. That championship is so close this year with Mikey, with Cook,
quite easily
with Lloyd, with Smiley. But also, I can quite easily see
one
somebody dominating it. So I think this weekend, I think it's a track that doesn't really suit any of the independent drivers like massively.
Yeah.
So therefore, I think it could be quite close and we'll see that nip and tuck between them all.
Okay. My final one is it's a little bold. Now I would read it back. Is Toyota to have a top six finish this weekend?
Yeah.
So the more I think about it, the more I should go top eight.
Well, it's too late. As I said to you before, the problem is you've got four Fords, four BMWs and six Hyundais. That's the full 15 places filled up, isn't it? Actually, yeah. That's the full 15 and one left over with my maths.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's just, we'll see.
Oh, no, it's one space left.
One space left.
So,
normally filled by Cook.
Or Doble.
Yeah.
Doble.
Yeah, that's where it's like, finished top six.
Yeah, it's very brave, that one. Okay, okay. And then every weekend we do a track specific prediction. This weekend, as I said before, it's a tight circuit. I expect there to be a fair bit of offs and actions. So we're going to do laps behind the safety car.
It doesn't normally take much. If a driver gets a tap or runs wide, there's normally a tyre barrier or wall encroaching, which normally leads to a safety car being brought out. So we're going for total laps behind the safety car this weekend.
Across the three races in the touring cars.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. And we picked this completely individually.
Yes.
And there's just one in it.
Yep.
So I've gone for seven.
Yep.
And you've gone for
six.
Six.
Only on the basis that it's also quite a long lap. So there's a lot of time for recovery to take place. As long as there's no damage to the barriers, if you're just snatching and recovering vehicles, it's a long lap to get that sorted.
Yeah.
But it's going to depend on the nature of any incidents that, require a safety car.
Yeah, we've seen plenty of people go off on that double right-hander out the back of the circuit into the gravel, which certainly could take a few laps to get sorted. So we'll see how that all plays out this weekend.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the Oulton Park preview. As I said, we are going this weekend, so if you do see us, by all means, pop over and say hello.
A nice beverage would be good.
I mean, we can't ask people to give us beverages.
I just have.
I won't be asking for people to bring me beverages, but yes.
We'd love to talk to you, share your thoughts and feelings with how the touring car season is going so far, who you think is going to take the championship at the end of the day, and how we're looking towards this midpoint of the season.
Yeah, and just to repeat Sam's PSA from earlier, if you are going, look after yourselves, look after each other. It's going to be hot. As a country, we don't deal with heat well. I don't deal with heat well. He doesn't deal with heat well.
Water.
Wind. But take it easy, look out for each other, and enjoy the weekend's action.
Yeah, until then, stay safe, and we'll bring you an update on Tuesday.
Sun, postcard settings, and a delay. Oh no, I've done it wrong again.
Out of practice,
right. Sun.
It's getting worse.
Okay.
That's why I leave it down to him.
Right. Ready?